And just come on, I want to kind of get right into this. Man, I love where we're at right now, and I'm just so excited that you're with us this morning. And I hope that you are here. If you're new to Believer's Chapel, man, I'm pumped that you're with us. You could be anywhere right now, and we value you, and we're so excited that you're here. And I appreciate your time this morning, honestly. And we look to going into this new series, man. I'm kind of juiced about this new series. It's our worship series. We do it maybe once a year, every other year, just a continual understanding of what is worship, why we worship, what is the biblical topic of worship. You know, is it just the Sunday morning 30-minute deal? Is it just that there's something to the Sunday morning corporate worship biblically, which we will get into that in the next few weeks. But there's something to just to worship God, to walk in that place of that adoration to him. And what does it mean to truly adore him? And what does it mean, honestly, that we can truly become so self-absorbed that we just make everything about us, right? And we just come to this place to honestly, we begin to make worship about us. And in that moment, when God invades our space and we've asked God to fill this atmosphere, and you come out of a Good Friday service where you know, honestly, it took me a few days to recover from that, trying to go into Easter and understand really what God did even in my spirit in worship, and just that absolute beautiful presence of exalting and adoration and honoring and glorifying God. Man, when you understand the truth of worship, where you don't walk in this place during our time of worship to take. You walk in this place, even corporately in our time of worship, to give God thanks, to give God adoration that he deserves, to walk in his place, to magnify his name and understand who God is and what he's done for us, that we don't become self-absorbed of walking into a time of worship, even Monday through Saturday and Sunday, even in your life of worship, that what does my life look like as I worship him? And you walk in this place that we can become so self-absorbed that we make it about us. And we miss so much in doing that. Church, do we gain in a corporate set of worship? Absolutely. The Bible says in his presence, there is joy. In his presence, there is rest. And in his presence, he can truly put things in your heart. And you can gain a confidence. And you can gain a surety within your spirit when you're crying out to the one true living God. And you understand how great he is. And you begin to realize how small I am. And you begin to understand, but yet he's conquered all things. And in him, I can have peace. And Jesus, so clearly in John 16:33, says, listen, in me you will have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but take courage. I've conquered the world. I've overcome the world. So what's he saying? Like, there's peace in me. There's crazy in the world, but I've already taken out the world. So what do you have left? Peace. So what happens when you begin to live this life that's filled with joy and filled with peace in the midst of crazy, where you can begin to honestly live this life of worship, and worship is my direction towards him, my thoughts on him, not being self-absorbed, that I'm giving him worship and praise. That just is not just the Sunday morning deal. Listen, church, we have the greatest worship team. I will take these guys anywhere I go. They're unbelievable. And as good as it is, our worship shouldn't be a 30-minute deal on a Sunday morning. And we'll talk about the importance of that. We'll talk about why we do that and why we celebrate God the way we celebrate God. We're going to do a message on our posture before God and what that looks like. God would have never told us that posture matters if he didn't say posture matters. It matters, and how our posture is before the living holy God. And we're going to talk on that in a few weeks. But today I want to get into John 4. And I want to understand, just to start this series on worship, and it's called He is Worthy. That he is worthy. Why do we worship? Why do we live this life that is not self-absorbed, but really you look at this place, I don't want to be, in the sense of my worship, I don't want to be a sponge. When I'm diving into the word to know that this is the absolute truth and we live and breathe by the word of God, I want to be a sponge, man. I want to eat it like I'm hungry. I want it to be alive and powerful to my spirit. But when it comes time to worship, I don't want to do the sponge thing and take. And absorb, but it's my time to honor God with my life and honor God with my words and honor God with my song and honor God with instruments, and then live a life that truly is a life that lives in adoration to him by choice and by direction and who I am and what people see of me. And in that, I walk in this place to worship. So this series is going to cover inside church and outside church and how we walk in our relationship with the Lord. And it's going to be powerful, and I'm so excited. But I start today in John 4. And if you would just turn with me to John 4, and I want to begin with this amazing conversation This amazing conversation that Jesus has with this woman at the well. And I want to tell a story first, and it comes to this place that we have to understand. We walk in this place of worship based off of his terms and not our terms. How many times do we honestly come to the Lord? We come to the Lord based off of truly like our terms. And what is it when we realize how grand he is and how majestic he is and how awesome he is, and truly you walk in his place that he would be magnified and he would be glorified, that Jesus truly is the rock, that Jesus is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we understand that God Almighty says, I am the I am, and that's what I am. And church, we can come to the place that we become self-absorbed about us, that we think we are in charge. When you walk into a place to say, no, God is so big and I'm a dot, and yet he loves me. And I come to this place to be proper in my worship, to just surrender myself to him. But this is an amazing story. Some would call it true. It's supposed to be a true account. Others would say it's just a great story for illustration, but it does have to do with the United States military, the United States Navy, and our Canadian friends from the North and their administration. And this is how this goes. This is supposedly happened in 1995. The report came out October 10th, 1995, and this is supposed to be the actual radio conversation believed to be true, but maybe not. But I'm going to tell the story. And this is what it is. You've got, this is off the coast of Newfoundland, where you've got the United States Navy. They're traveling, and you've got the Canadians, and they're having this conversation. And the Americans say this: please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. And the Canadians said this: we recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. And the Americans: this is the captain of the U.S. Navy ship, and I say again, divert your course. Canadians: no, I say again, divert your course. And the Americans: this is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be taken to ensure the safety of this ship. The Canadian's response: this is a lighthouse. Your call. And I love that, because sometimes we can become so self-absorbed and we want to kind of take over. And the reality is, in the truth of how great and grand our God is, we come to a place to come to him on his terms, in his grandeur and his majesty and his excellence and his power and his authority, to know that in him he told me something that I am allowed to tap into, and I have that available to me, that in him I will have peace regardless of the craziness of the world. He tells us in this world it is going to be crazy and it's going to be a mess, but guess what? Take courage. Come on, something inside of you. Take courage, be strong. Why? Because I've already taken care of the crazy. I've taken care of the world. So what does that leave me? That leaves me peace, according to his terms. Right? So I want to see this. This is an amazing story. You've got Jesus, and he meets with this woman at the well, and you know the story, and I'm going to go through the story in case you don't know the story. And we see this is a lengthy conversation. This is one of Jesus' longer conversations that he has with a solo individual, and it covers so much. And again, this is worship series, and we're going to get to this. We're going to talk about this story for 2 weeks, this week and next week. Invite somebody. Be ready to invite a family to Believer's Chapel. Be ready to invite family with kids. We want 200 kids on a consistent basis at the Kingdom Kids in the ministry every Sunday. Invite somebody, man. This is so good, and God is doing such a work in the hearts of people in our region. Be a part of it, right? Be a part of it. Come on, we walk in this place today. We're going to get to this where it says this in John 4:23, but an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, I love that. The true worshipers, we are going to hit this next week. Pre-game to next week. Even where our friend Emma spoke a message in that sense of God doesn't want actors. And Olivia mentioned that. It was incredible. God doesn't want actors. He wants truth. He wants faithful. He wants loyal. He wants sincere. He wants genuine. He wants authentic. And man, the youth had this event Friday night, and it was for the juniors and seniors, and we do this once or twice a year, that we gather the juniors and the seniors, the older crew, and we have an overnight with them. And Jacob and his team, church, you have an amazing leadership that runs the breakaway crew. And Jacob's dad, Jerry Clark, well, you know Jerry, he's preached here many times. He's going to be preaching here coming up in a couple months. And we go to his property, and it's an unbelievable, beautiful property on a hill. And when you sit out at night and you just see the stars, and it is reminded of how great and grander our God is, and it reminds us of how small we are when you see the vast number of stars. And then Emma around the fire, and listen, they have a fire. When Mitch shows up and says, "Hey, Mitch, can you build a fire?" He brings a truckload of pallets. He's all, "I can get as many pallets as I want." And there's just this fire that is just keeps going and going. And then Emma starts to sing, and someone's playing the guitar, and we start to worship God under the stars. And it's just a reminder of just how great and how majesty and how excellent, how powerful our God is, that he truly is worthy to be worshiped and praised and honored and adored. And you walk in this place to see where this woman is in her brokenness. And you see where this woman is in the life that she is walking in. That she finds herself alone at a well in the middle of the day. No women went to the well alone in the middle of the day. There was a reason why she was by herself. Come on, let's just take a couple minutes and let's just hear from God today. Come on, let's just pray. Father, we are amazed by your word, and we thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray, no matter where we're at today, that we would hear from you, that we would see exactly what we need to see. And Father, we would hear exactly what we need to hear. And Father, our heart truly would respond to you today. Father, by your Spirit, I ask that you would move this message from the paper to our minds and then to our spirits. God, let it go deep today. We love you. We're amazed by you. We thank you for revealing so much in this conversation here in the scripture, and that you would speak to us today in Jesus' name. Come on, watch this. Verse 3, it says this, chapter 4, John. So he had left Judah and went away again into Galilee. Watch this. He had to pass through Samaria. He didn't have to. A lot of times the Jews would go around Samaria, but it says here that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, I love this. We know that Jesus, 100% man. We're going to see Jesus in this amazing story, 100% man, yet perfectly divine, 100% God. Watch this, being wearied from his journey. This is Jesus. Listen, he worked, he worked, he worked, he worked, he served. He served ministry after ministry after ministry. People are following him. Large crowds are gathering around him. Could you imagine the time that Jesus had to sleep? Not much. He was pressed all the time. And Jesus is worn out. And Jesus is tired. He says this, at Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. That's the heat of the day, man. That's noon. It was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." A woman of Samaria drew water. And Jesus said, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone to Subway to buy some food. So they went away. They're no longer there. They're off in Napoli's getting some pizza. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman?" And when you begin to set this story up, when you begin to set up this very real conversation that took place, you see Jesus, who is a Jew, and you see this woman, who is a Samaritan. And you got to understand the reality of why she brings this to his attention. Why are you, a male Jew, talking to me, a female Samaritan? Because this doesn't happen. Church, you have to understand, Samaritans were half-breeds. Samaritans were Jews who were mixed with Gentiles. So here you've got Jews, you've got Gentiles, and in the Jews' opinion, you've got the Samaritans because they gave up the right for Jews because they became half-breeds because they were with the Gentiles. And the Jew had tradition and they had law that you are not to eat with Samaritans, you're not to touch the utensils, you're not allowed and not supposed to let them in your house. They are half-breeds. They are dogs. This is their opinion. You've got to understand the severity of this and what Jesus did. Jesus was breaking all the rules. And aren't you glad that he did? When you walk in a place to realize the rules of man. And you walk in a place, what will at times rob your worship or what at times will get in the way of you and God? It is man-made rules and they get in the way. And Jesus came to a place, had to go to Samaria, had to be with this woman, came to this place where she's like, what are you doing? Why are you, a Jewish male, asking me, a Samaritan woman, like, you don't talk to us. We're dogs in your sight. And then he broke the rules where males didn't talk with females. She's like, wait a minute, I'm a Samaritan, which means I am dirt in your sight, and I'm a dog in your sight. And I'm a woman, which you're not supposed to talk to me. Like, what is going on right now? What is happening that you are talking to me? Church, it's stunning. It's stunning when you understand the mindset of a Samaritan compared to the mindset of a Jewish man. And she says this, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? And then Jesus answered and said to her, look at his answer, it is amazing. She's already, you gotta understand something, man. This is a real conversation. She's already stunned by this conversation. Isn't it amazing that when you walk into a place to understand how Jesus pursues, and you walk into a place to understand red, yellow, black, brown, or white, you walk into understanding that God so loved the world, God isn't looking at color, God isn't looking at your ethnic value, God isn't looking at the country that you belong to, for God so loved the world, and Jesus Christ is showing us, you walk into a place to deny all the rules, and you come to this place where I love where Jesus is at this place, saying, I'm not looking at your race, I'm not looking at your ethnic background. I'm not looking to where you were born. I'm not looking to you being a Samaritan woman. And Jesus comes right to a place to point right to her heart. I know exactly who you are, and I know exactly what you've been through. An amazing church that you walk in a place to begin to understand, even through the eyes of Jesus, the hurt and the broken and the sin of racism. And Samaritans know it better than most when you walk into a place to realize that they were considered dirt and they were considered dogs, that you couldn't even eat off the utensils that they used and they were not allowed even in your house. And you, where's Jesus? On purpose had to get to this well because he had a plan. And you walk in this place where this woman is at the well in the heat of the day, and Jesus, verse 10 says this, and Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, and you would have asked for him, and he would have given you living water. Now, I love this. You got this woman. She's already stunned that Jesus is talking to her. And then this dude by the well is like, listen, if you know who I am, I could give you living water. And like, could you imagine having a try to understand water that's living, like living water? Like, I'm sure she's looking down in the well going, are there, like, what's alive down there? Like, is the Kraken down there? Like, what is alive down there that is alive? Like, what? Whoop. Someone called 911. This dude has lost his mind. I don't know what's happening here. He's talking about living water. He's talking to me. Like, watch this. It's crazy. And then she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, for the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? She still was in this, like, hey, what living water? What do you mean by living water? And then I love this. Watch this. Verse 12, she keeps going. Are you not greater than our father Jacob? Are you? who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle. Verse 13, and Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become for him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And he's talking about salvation. And then look at the woman's response. It's amazing. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty nor come here to draw. Like, she's like, okay, water that's alive, and if I drink of this water, I will never thirst again, and I never have to walk to this well again. And she's like, no, I'm not. Listen, head up. I'm not talking about looking down in the water that it's alive. I'm not even referencing this well. Listen, you're still gonna have to come back and get water. You're missing this. When you walk in this place, what is Jesus talking about here when he's referencing living water? What is the big answer here when he's dealing with this woman, when he's dealing with this woman who comes to the well at noon, when no other women came to the well at noon? They came in the early morning, and they came as a pack, and they came as a crew, and it was women hour, and they came and they laughed and they had fun together, and it was their moments for the ladies of the village to come out and get water together, and that was their time to talk, and it was their time to laugh, and it was time to talk about their kids. Like, it was social time. This is all history. It was social time for the ladies to go. It's like our ladies going to the bathroom. I don't know what that means, but it's like the ladies going to the well in the morning to get the water, and they're laughing and they're talking about their kids, and it's just an amazing time. But this woman is all by herself alone, not a part of that crew. And Jesus says, listen, if you knew who I am, I can give you living water for what is inside of you, not on your outside, but what is on the inside, and you will never thirst again. And if you would just flip with me a couple pages, please, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and Jesus, this is a different conversation, but yet Jesus is speaking again on living water, but he goes a little deeper to what he's referencing to this lady at the well. And it says this, verse 37, John 7, verse 37. And now on the last day of the the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out. I love that. Jesus stood up and cried, like Jesus, he stands and he speaks and he cries out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, here it is. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, that's coming to him on his terms. We don't come to him on our terms. We come to him on his terms. He who believes in me, that's repent, believe, and surrender. That's repent, believe, and surrender. Repent means to change our mind towards sin. Listen, you don't make up the rules to sin. You don't change scripture to fit your sin lifestyle. That never works. You walk in a place to admit sin. You walk in a place to change my heart towards sin, change my direction towards sin. And it causes you to turn 180 and say, no more of that for me. You walk in a place to call sin, sin, repent from sin, turn from sin. Number two, you believe in Jesus. It's based on the scripture. He who believes in me according to the scripture, repent from sin, believe that Jesus Christ only is the answer. One way, through Christ. And you walk in a place to confess that he is Lord. And make him Lord of your life, which means I am doing it your way. My life lives to be your way. And I understand your word, and I will follow your word, and I'll walk in obedience to your word. That's what he's referencing here. He says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers. I love this. Will flow rivers of living water. He's talking to the woman at the well. Listen, if you know who I am, you will never thirst again. You will have living waters. And she's looking in the well. She's checking them out, going, what are you talking about? Living water. Oh, so I never have to come back to the well again. He's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about me being that living water. Look what he says. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being. This isn't from the outside in. This is from the inside out. This is referencing who you really are in your spirit and in your heart. This comes from the inside. He says, you walk in this place of faith. You walk in this place to believe me. That can't be because of circumstance. It has to be from the innermost part. It has to be from within. Watch this. Your innermost being, that will flow rivers. I love this, of living water. And when you see the word flow, that the actual Greek word is torrent, which means this rushing river like a flood. Church, isn't it amazing that Jesus himself says, listen, if you believe in me, according to the scriptures, church, we're post-scripture. We have the whole word of God in our hand. Do we understand what that means to walk in a relationship with Jesus? I am born again, and I am saved. I have been blood bought by the cross, by the amazing work of Jesus. I do believe in him as my Lord and Savior. This applies to me, and he says this, that in you can flow like a flood. Rivers of living water. Living water here, it means that which is alive, that which has life. Watch this. He goes a little deeper here and he says this. But he spoke of the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him, those who believe in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Just, you realize if you have come to this place, please hear this. Please hear this. If you've come to this place to know Christ as Lord and Savior, when you honestly come to this place to surrender to him on his terms, you understand I am dead in my sin and I need Jesus and Jesus came for me. And in that moment that you come to this place to true salvation in Jesus, the Bible says that by his Spirit, he will come in you and he will fill you. For those who believe, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit within you and us, and in the Spirit within us and our inner part, that there can flow like a flood living waters on the inside. What happens? So what happens when my whole world is falling apart? What happens when circumstances have got a hold of me? What happens when tragedy hits? I can tell you, I know people. I know people in this church that have gone through tragedy, that have gone through great loss. But there's a river that would flow through their heart. And in the midst of that tragedy, in the midst of that brokenness, there was peace. There was this sense of joy. And the outside just can't figure it out. People look and say, but you're going through tragedy. Man, life has just punched you right in the face, right? How can you have this peace? How can you walk in this place of joy? Why? Because happiness isn't an outside celebration. It's something by his Spirit where I believe this. I believe the word of God where Jesus himself says, by my Spirit in you, you can have this river that flows like a flood that will be alive and bring life to you. And in that I flow and walk in this place of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I will walk in a place to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. This is where I will be. Why? Because the Spirit of God is that living water that flows like a flood in my innermost parts, not based on my circumstance. Come on, church. And yes, in tragedy, we hurt. And yes, in tragedy, we're broken. But in tragedy, we walk in this place to dig in, to say, no, there is a river flowing through my spirit, the Holy Spirit within me. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, for it brings dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And the word filled means be being kept filled. That is a continuation. I want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit today. I know that when you know that you've got the Spirit within you because you're saved, he abides in you. He lives in you. The word abide means he stays and remains, but it's on us to function in the Holy Spirit. It's on us to walk in that place. I'm going to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, go in the parking lot, And you could lose your marbles in a tight race to the finish line, right? Fingers are going up and it's not supposed to be that way. You know what I'm saying, right? And you're not waving. We had people last week swearing at our parking lot guy. It's amazing. Like that's funny. Are you walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Guess what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So what's it mean to truly walk in the fullness of His Spirit? Man, I want to walk full of You, and I want to walk in this place of Your fruit. And man, no matter what's going on in my life, I know that in this world there will be tribulation, but in You I have peace. And take courage, because You've overcome the world. So what am I left with? If You've already overcome and You've already conquered, what am I left with? Peace. And I want that river to flow like a flood from me. Here, watch this. We got a cruise. We will pick this up next week. I love this. Church, I love you. Dude, we're good. Sam, I don't need it, man. We're good, bro. We're rolling, baby. Come on. Thank you. And then go back to John 4, because here's where she's at, and you got to get this. So the woman is in this place going, hey, give me this water so I don't have to thirst. Man, I don't have to come all the way down here to draw water. And he said to her, go call your husband and come here. And this is where it gets really weird for her, I'm sure. There's this guy that I'm standing before me that's talking to me, which he shouldn't be. He's breaking all the rules. And then he's talking about this water that is alive and it's full of life. But yet I'm looking at a well and I've drawn this same water. How many times did she come to the same well? How many times did she come to the same well? How many times did she come to the same well? And it's just the same water. What is he talking about? And then he says, listen, go get your husband and bring him here. And then she says this, I have no husband. And Jesus says to her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one whom you have now have is not your husband. And thus you have said truly. Can you just put yourself in the midst of this conversation for a minute, please? She's already thrown aside by him even initiating a conversation. She's already thrown aside that he's asking her to use the well and bring up the well. And she's thrown aside by the whole living water conversation. And then she says, I have no husband. And then Jesus looks right at her and says, you've answered correctly, because you've had 5. And the 6th one that you would now is not your husband. I mean, could you imagine her going into the mindset of, are you Magnum P.I.? Like, and I'm not talking about the current one. I'm talking about the Tom Selleck. Like, I'm old school. 180, right? 1980, Tom Selleck. You know the mustache people. You know how cool he is. And that's the real Magnum, right? And he got to the bottom of everything. He was amazing. And I'm sure she's looking at it like, are you, wow, are you Private Eye? Are you Magnum? How do you know this? I perceive that you are a prophet. You see, now she's getting some. Now she's getting somewhere. Church, when you understand the reality of the truth of this story, you've got Jesus Christ, who's tired and weary, who walks in a rare journey to go into Samaria because they wanted nothing to do with these people. They could have gone around. But he's like, no, I've got an assignment to meet this broken woman at a well. Why is it? Why is it that she was at the well all by herself? Why is it that she had to walk to the well alone in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, when all the other women in the village came in the morning time when it was cool to bring back the water, to laugh with one another, to talk with one another, to have their social time, and they went to get their water, because this woman was the outcast. This one. Literally the whore of the town. You've been with 5 husbands. None of them wanted you. And the one you're with now, not your husband. She walked to that well alone because nobody wanted to deal with this woman. She was broken. She was a mess. She was alone. She came from this place of just a rugged place where you understand a man could ditch a wife in this days for any reason he wanted to. And she's been through it. Been there, done that, been through it. And Jesus comes to a place going, I've got a conversation. I've got a meeting. I've got to come to this one woman and have a conversation with her to say, listen, listen, I'm not looking at your past. I'm not looking at your five husbands. I'm not looking at where you're at right now. In me, you can have a river of life. You can have a river of joy. You can have a river of peace. You can be overcome with who I am in you by my spirit. This is who Jesus is. He's looking at her going, I'm not worried about your past. I'm not worried about you yesterday. Matter of fact, Jesus says, I'm not worried about you right now. How many times do people think I need to clean myself up before I come to Jesus? Well, Jesus punches that thought in the face. He's like, listen, I know where you came from. I know how broken you are. And I know where you're at right now. But come to me. I will give you this flood of life that will be within you. No one has ever spoke to her like this. Can you just bow your heads just for a moment, please? You walk in this place. Well, I don't know where you carried in. I don't know where you're at. And I don't know your past. And I don't know you right now, but Jesus does. If you're one of those who has to come to this place to wait to be good enough, say, there's no way I can go before him now. My life is a mess and I am a wreck. Then you're missing the story. You're missing the story. Where Jesus says, listen, I know your past. I know you're hurt. I know you're broken. I know your sin. And what you're doing right now, sin. That's what Jesus tells her. Can I ask you a real question? Who pursued who here? Who's pursuing who? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, comes to a place on purpose to pursue this one broken woman who's all by herself because no one wants anything to do with her. But Jesus does. Come on, wherever you're at in this moment. Even what Brendan said, so amazing today. Stop looking at your past. None of us deserve Jesus pursuing us. If you're waiting to deserve it, that is a lie from hell. Satan has a hold of your mind. You come to a place and say, Jesus pursued this broken woman, and I want Jesus to pursue me. I can't wait any longer. I can't wait to be good enough. I can't wait to clean it up. Jesus went right after her. He says, do you want life? Do you want something done on your inside, not on the outside, but on the inner person, in your spirit and in your heart? Do you want this river to flow like a flood? That will fill you with joy, that will fill you with peace, to know all is good. My God is great. He is in charge. He's got this. He has already overcome. I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to believe in him. Where are you in this today? Man, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, you've been waiting. You've been waiting. This is your moment. This is your day that you come to this place right now to say, I've been waiting for this. I need this. Do you know Jesus? If you're like this woman at the well, and you've got that brokenness, and you've got the past, and even people in your family, even people around you have shunned you. She is a shunned woman. Can I just tell you that Jesus is pursuing you in this place right now? He is pursuing you. Come to a place to say, I'm in. I need you, Jesus. I can't wait any longer. I'm not going to clean myself up to get right with you, but in you, you clean me up already because I'm right with you. And Jesus comes to a place to say, listen, you will never deserve what I have to offer, but it's a free gift, and I offer it because I love you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And if you have come to this place today, to say, I need you, Jesus. You come to a place to say, I repent. I turn from my sin. I believe in Jesus. Jesus, you're the answer. Just as this woman had to believe in you. Jesus, I believe in you. I trust in you. There's no other way. And Jesus, I confess that you are Lord. And if you would just stand to your feet as Katie sings. Honestly, wherever you're at in this morning, I got a quick announcement after she's done singing, but I just want you to walk in this place to know, Jesus, if I call on your name, I shall be saved. No more waiting. Jesus had to go to a place where other Jews wouldn't go to find this one particular woman that no one else wanted. And I just think that there's moments in our lives that we've got to be reminded that Jesus is the one doing the pursuing. And Jesus comes after you. Come on, let's sing.